So here the demigods, then they have, now basically they're coming to the end of their prayers, and then they're, you know, revealing the point that they have a particular desire that they want fulfilled, and that is that they want the difficulties that are arising due to this Dhritarashtra demon, they would like that removed. And they have also noted that, or made the point to the Lord, that they understand this is not pure devotional service. That the Lord knows everything, He'll take care of everything, but just to make sure that He understands exactly what they want, then they're making it very clear. So, but this, the point here is that though this is not pure devotional service, it's still considered devotional service. Because Krishna says, four kinds of person render service to me. So it's devotional service. So it's not pure. So it's accepted by the Lord as devotional service. So this is a starting point. This is the neophyte platform. When we do our service, but we also expect some kind of return from the Lord. We have some desire that we want fulfilled. So therefore, we approach the Lord for that. So that is proper. Because it's the Lord anyway who's going to give all these desires. So it's better we approach directly than indirectly. We are not in our indirect approach to the Lord, where we approach Him through the demigods or through our labor. We are not without desire. We have desire. We have a desire, and then we decide, I'm going to work for it in some kind of activity. You know, either I do some work and I directly get, or I'm going to perform some auspicious activity that will in the future give me that result. But in any case, we have the desire and we are working. So that is there, but we are not recognizing the Lord. So here, then the proper thing is we recognize the Lord. The Lord Himself is the one who's going to fulfill that desire anyway, even if we do it indirectly. Through the modes of material nature, through the activities of karma and jnana or yoga. He's the one who's going to sanction and who is going to allow that desire to be fulfilled anyway. So if we directly approach Him, that is better. Because indirect means there's no relationship with the Lord. Indirect relationship, there's no exchange. I may get this somebody through somebody else and this one and that one in so many ways. I get it done, but I think I am doing all this. Yes, I talk to this one, and he'll talk to that one, and that one will get this one to do this, and that one will do this, and I've made so many nice arrangements. So even though it's the person who is in the seat of authority who is going to give what we want, we are still thinking, I have done it. Well, if we approach directly and say, yes, I'm, you know, full of material desires, so many things are there, but I know that you are the one who sanctions, and only you can take care, and only you can fulfill. It's not me. So, as you wish, you fulfill, you don't fulfill, that's up to you. I am surrendered. So that is devotional service. That is proper. Because then the relationship becomes established. Maybe the relationship is not the topmost platform, but at least it's a relationship. So that is the important element. Is that we are starting to establish our relationship between ourselves and the Lord, rather than between ourselves and our senses, or ourselves and the mind, like this. But we are establishing the supreme relationship. Though in the beginning it's understood, it may not be of the top quality, but by practice, by association, then it will attain good quality. So the demigods here are very open about it. So this is a very important aspect, because their lifestyle is basically in the mode of goodness. All their activities they are doing based on the scriptures, based on the authority of the scriptures. Like this, now and again they deviate, and then they get themselves into trouble. Right? Means Indra deviated from the scriptures. Means as a king, he is not supposed to kill a Brahmin. Means that Vishnu, as a Brahmin, was his priest. Maybe he was doing something he didn't wish him to do. He was doing what he wanted him to do. He was doing some extra that he was not overly interested in. But he didn't have the right to kill him. means he could have said, okay, please, you don't be our priest anymore, we'll get someone else to do it. You know, or ask him to leave the place, banish him, like this. But he was performing his priestly duties. It wasn't that he was not. So he couldn't be dealt with in this way. If he was not acting as a priest, he was acting as a low-class person, then, okay, then the chastisement might have fit. But since he wasn't, it was not his right. So because of this, because he went against the scripture, therefore all this trouble has come up. Right? The trouble is there because of so much material desire. Indra and the demigods want to enjoy so much. So then they broke the rules, and then now then they have more trouble. Right? Out of the frying pan into the fire. Right? They thought they were going to get a lot of trouble by these offerings of Vishnu. Now they're getting even more trouble. Right? Like that. At least they had a chance before. They just wanted to become strong so they could defeat the demons. But they figured, you know, it's a good fight anyway, but we're better, and we just add a little more, we'll be best. But here, then, with the son of Tvashta, then he is so powerful that they have no influence. He mentions their strength and influence is removed. Okay, the weapons are lost, but if they're in a good fighting spirit, they'll get more weapons, they'll continue. But when their strength and influence is removed, then that's it. They can't fight anymore, they can't be effective. So now, they have, seeing no alternative, they have surrendered to the Lord. So we should try to establish the proper, with a relationship with the Lord. We have desires, we should approach Krishna for these desires. We understand it's not proper. But it's important that even though we understand it's not proper, it's more improper to pursue our desires not approaching the Lord than to approach the Lord for material desires. Okay? The proper thing is understand it's not good. Okay? That's it. Like the demigods here, as I was explaining before, as before I got distracted by myself, is because of their following the rules and their lifestyle and goodness, they are able to honestly say, yes, I have these material desires, I'm approaching you for this, it's not proper, but what to do? It's the best of, you know, what should be done. So this is very important. This is why it's recommended to properly follow prescribed duties in that, because then one is able to be honest like this. You know, honesty is very sought after these days, but one can only be honest if one follows prescribed duties. That's the real thing. So engaging someone in devotional service, whatever their platform, that is the real platform of honesty. So the demigods have said this, and that makes them the most properly honest. So here then, in this is very important, the surrender. Surrender is very important. So that to get the effect, even of their material desires, needs that surrender. That surrender must be there. Without that, even this approaching the Lord for material desires still is not going to function. Right? So that sincere surrender must be there. Then we can get what we are looking for. Right? One has these desires, but by that surrender, that is the operative principle. Because otherwise, without it, how does something work? If you go to somebody and says, can you do this for me? And then they give some directions and you don't follow them or that, how are you going to get anywhere? Right? So that surrender must be there. So it's very important that we try to get that, imbibe that in others, the mood of surrender. And then the best way is we ourselves are surrendered. Because right? Krishna is surrendered to his devotees. And he is surrendered to these relationships with the devotees. Therefore, the devotees surrender to him. He is surrendered, so they will surrender. So if we want to be effective in getting others to surrender, we ourselves have to be surrendered. Then that works very nicely. So this aspect of surrender is very, very important. And then surrender in knowledge means they have surrendered. They have material desire, but they're in knowledge that only Krishna can fulfill it. And that it's not the topmost platform, but at least it's the beginning of devotional service. It's my duty as a servant that if I have a problem, to approach the Master. Then it is good. So these aspects come out here. So Prabhupada starts with this point. The miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest amongst mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender. So they have desires, but they don't recognize the Lord, and they don't surrender. So they're going to try to get their desires themselves, and they suffer. But the demigods, because they're devotees, they surrender to the Lord. And then whatever they need is taken care of, how the Lord wants to take it. So it's not important that one, the best approach is that we simply approach the Lord to become a proper devotee, to become qualified to serve, to assist, to become a good servant of the spiritual master. That is the best thing. Because the other side things, it's automatic. The previous example was that it's very hot, and if you go under a large tree, you don't have to ask the tree to protect us from the sun and, you know, give us a cool place, all this. It's automatic. You take shelter of the tree, you automatically, these things are taken care of. So when we take shelter of the Lord, automatically these material aspects are taken care of. The Lord knows. So we concentrate on the other aspects, how to properly establish ourselves in service to Krishna. That is our main interest, how to surrender properly to the Lord. And Krishna knows these other things, what's needed, what's not needed, and then he takes care of these things. That is going on. Any questions or comments? Yes. Is it possible that they can take shelter of the Lord directly if they haven't come to the platform of duty? It's always possible. Because the nature of the living entity is servant of Krishna, so it's natural for the living entity to surrender to the Lord. So generally one will find here, it's like the demigods, all other avenues were not possible. So they had no alternative but to surrender to the Lord. So it's either they find some other way to have another great idea, you know, but they didn't have another great idea. So all they could do is surrender to the Lord. So this situation so many times will come for the living entity. The material world is very expert at creating that situation or situations or a whole, you know, string of such situations that there's no alternative. So then one, it's natural to surrender. Whether one is very expert in devotional service or not, or very properly situated in scriptural rules or not, it doesn't matter. Because a living entity by nature is servant of Krishna, so it doesn't matter what the position is. That option to surrender to the Lord at every moment is there for the living entity. Is that on this fulfilling desires, I've mentioned there's two ways. Is that one tries to do it oneself and one approaches the Lord. And so if one approaches the Lord, does that mean that, let's say I want to make $1 million, then I don't have to endeavor to start a business or, you know, in some way make some endeavor to generate that money? It'll just automatically come more. So Krishna points out in the Gita that everybody has to work by nature. They're just active. The soul by nature is active. The aspect of chit means activity is there. Like that, there has to be. Even the jnani may say, we'll merge ourselves into Brahman, but his only how he's gotten himself to that platform and how he's able to maintain is by the activity of the intelligence and the mind. So knowledge and relationship means activity. And then ananda means that there's going to be relationship and activity. So that has to go on. That's the nature of the soul. They have to do an activity. So it's just a matter of whether we do the activity thinking that we're the doer, or we do the activity and understand that Krishna is actually the one who sanctions. So if it's our duty, or it's our, you know, to make $1 million, you know, that's our position, then we do that, make that endeavor. But we understand that will be, if it's fulfilled, it's only by Krishna's grace, like that. And if it's not, then maybe it's either Krishna doesn't want, or it's not our nature. We should be doing something else, you know, inspiring someone else to make $1 million or something. But in any case, the activity will always be there. So it's just a matter of decision on whether we basically follow the activities given by Krishna or not given by Krishna. And then in that, if we'll remember the Lord or not. So that's basically.
Suppose my activity is maintaining a vegetable God, and I still want to be a millionaire. So I worship the Lord and I ask to be a millionaire, and I just take care of my vegetable God. So will the Lord fulfill my desire, or is it?
Yes, why not? He's saying if my duty is to maintain a vegetable garden and I want to become a millionaire, so then do I just worship the Lord and then go on maintaining my vegetable garden? It's like this. We'll do that, and the point is it's, you know, very rare that just suddenly one day we'll be out in a cabbage patch and we'll look inside one of the cabbages and we'll suddenly find, you know, $1 million there. There'll be a little kid there and goes like this, you know. Sometimes it may happen, you know, some big international dacoits or something, or then they happened to be crossing by and the police were after them and they hid their money in your cabbage patch. So it may happen that way. But generally Krishna acts through, you know, the devotees. He engages whatever we have. So if we have the ability to become a millionaire, then generally in managing our cabbage patch, we will dream up some great idea, and in this way, even through, you know, doing our vegetable garden, we may become millionaires by that. You know?
What's the difference between that and endeavoring ourselves to become?
Means, what I'm saying is, when I was making the point of endeavoring ourselves, that meant that we are endeavoring thinking that I am the doer, and because of my endeavor, I'm going to get the result. But it's not because of our work that we get the result. It's because of our one is we're approaching the Lord, and means the Lord is sanctioning. We have the desire, and that is being fulfilled by the material nature. And then that is being sanctioned by the Lord. So if we've done pious activities, or we perform pious activities that will give us that result, then there's every chance we'll get that. And if we have, let's say we had $1 million in our last life and we gambled it away, there's every chance this lifetime we have that interest, because it's our, you know, very recent nature to have that kind of wealth. But because of losing it in that way, then the punishment may be that we will not have. So we have the desire, but we don't have the qualification to get it. So we may desire it, we may not get it. So we may endeavor, we may not get. Someone else doesn't endeavor hardly at all, he gets. So it's the material desire is basically based on what is our position, and then what Krishna sees is good for us. So by giving us $1 million, we'll go away from him. He may not do that. But if we're very materialistic, but we have surrendered to the Lord for this, he may give that, because that will give us faith in the Lord, and then we'll surrender more. So depending upon our degree of faith, then that interaction may be there. But we always make our endeavor within our means. But we understand the result is up to Krishna. But the atheist thinks that by my endeavor, it happens. You know, like karma mimamsa. I've done my work, I deserve the results. rather than I've done the work, but still maybe that's not good enough. You know, it may not be, my work may not be sincere enough. Or I have done other things that there may be something I have to, that has to be taken care of first. Right? Like that. I may have done some bad activity. You know, let's say someone has you know, done some very heavy activity, sinful activity, and now he surrenders to the government. So there may be some punishment, and then after that, then there may be some proper protection. But still, those other things may be there. So it's just a matter of time. The desires that we have, they're always being fulfilled. It's just a matter of time. You know, whether it's this lifetime, next lifetime, we maintain it, we'll get it. You know, it'll always come. You know, it's just a matter of what we've done in the past to deserve it now or after some delay. So if we maintain that, so generally by prescribed duties, then the desires are able to be maintained, they won't be distracted. And if we perform them in knowledge of the Lord, we're purified. So we many times find that desire that we had, then after time, we're not so interested. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he had a great desire, and he went through the activities to get it. He was approaching the Lord. He was doing, you know, his activities. So then he got it. But then by performing the activities, he was purified. Then he understood he didn't want it. But now he was actually qualified to have that desire, though now he didn't want. Because otherwise, to have a kingdom greater than Lord Brahma's and not be the most pious living entity will be a distraction. Because if he had been the most pious living entity in the universe, he would not have been born as Dhruva. He would have been born as Brahma. But instead he was born as, you know, the great-grandson. Because he wasn't that pious. He was very pious, but not that pious. So he wanted something that he didn't have the piety for. So by performing these activities, he became purified. Then he was actually came to the platform of devotional service. Then he was able, devotional service is more pious than just being pious, like Lord Brahma. So then he could actually be the king of the pole star and perform those duties very nicely. Like that. But the desire in his heart to just have a big kingdom was gone. But now he was pure that he could. He had the nature as a kshatriya to manage something very large. So that is there. But now he engages in Krishna's service because it's his duty. As a kshatriya, it's his duty to do these things. And the Lord has given him this kingdom, so he manages it. But he's not doing it because he wants to do it. He's already given that up. But the activity is done. Like that. So if one has that interest, one has the ideas, one endeavors for that. Facility is there, one does it. But if one sees constantly that there's no facility, one is losing one's enthusiasm, one can't push on, and that there's no good guidance from others that this is good, then one may consider maybe it's not worth endeavoring for. Either the time is not right, or it's not our nature, or it's an improper desire. But otherwise, if we have the desire, the facilities comes, we can endeavor for it, we get. There's no problem. But we must understand it's come from the Lord, and we must use it for the Lord. Like that. So we get our $1 million, then we should do something. You know, we should see how it can be used in Krishna's service. So I'm sure if you're arranging $1 million, then you could probably talk to some of the local managers. They could probably help you find some nice ways to engage in the Lord's service.
See what the Lord.
Yes, that. And sure, it's like a, you know, you can probably come up with some new patent and cabbage or something like that to make your $1 million. You know. Anything else? Okay, so we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premier.